Two confessions. We're in Mark chapter 8. We'll start with just verse 27 this morning. Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he questioned his disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that I am?" It's an interesting question, isn't it? It's more interesting that Jesus would ask this of his disciples. Why would Jesus want to know what people were saying about him? Well, he could have wanted to know because he was trying to be somebody. And he was going to take what they said about him to heart and become what they wanted him to be. That's what a lot of people do today, don't they? When God revealed himself to Moses back in the book of Exodus, he said to him, "I am." And I remember a Sunday school teacher about 40-something years ago said to me, one way you could translate what he said to Moses was, "I am who you will find me to be," because he is the God who reveals himself to us. He's not what we make him. He is a self-revealing. We know about him because he has revealed himself to us in nature, first of all, but also in Scripture. So I am who you will find me to be. But Jesus is using a teaching method. The Socratic method requires cooperative argumentative dialogue between individuals, asking and answering questions that stimulate creative thinking and draw out underlying presumptions. Students prepare by closely reading and researching the text or the topic. So as Jesus walked along with his disciples, he would ask them questions. We still do the same thing today, or hopefully we do the same thing today when we study the Bible. We ask questions. We don't say, "Well, is the Bible the Word of God?" No, that fact is settled for us. We know that the Bible is the Word of God, and what we have to do as Christians, and we have to ask questions about, what is the Bible saying to me? What is God revealing to me through his Word? So we're trying to get to the truth by asking questions. Kipling said, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." So as we go to the Scripture, we ask these type of questions. Bill Lincoln, the man who taught me to study the Bible in college at Northeastern Bible College. Some of you probably heard Bill years ago here at the church. He died my senior year at Northeastern many, many years ago. He changed it a little bit. He said, "I have six faithful serving men who taught me all I know. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." And sometimes, so what? I think that's the application question. When we study the Bible, we should ask ourselves questions. What does it mean? Why was that included in Scripture? When was this written? How? Where was it? We've gone through that in the Gospel of John quite a little bit as Jesus moves around through Capernaum, through the Decapolis, 10 cities it means, as he's been up to Tyre and Sidon and different places throughout Israel. And to who was it written? Who is Jesus talking to? Is he addressing the Pharisees? Is he addressing someone who needs to be healed? And why did he approach it? You know, there's all kinds of questions you can ask when you're reading through the Scriptures. His question here for us this morning went to his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Jesus knew the answer better than anyone. He would make it a key theme in the Gospel of John. He said in John 6, 35, 41, 48, and 51, I am the bread of life. Bread sustains physical life, so Christ offers and sustains spiritual life. To the world today, if he was speaking, he might be tempted to say, I am the rice and beans of life. I am that which sustains life. Spiritual life as well as physical life. Jesus said in John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. To a lost world in darkness, Christ offers himself as a guide or as a light to illumine the truth for us. He also says in John 10, 7 and verse 9, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus protects his followers as a shepherd protects his flocks from predators. And there's love, as we mentioned last week, love that protects and provides for the flock. One of my favorites, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11, 25, death is not the final word for those in Christ. We don't have to fear death, do we? Not for ourselves, not for others who know the Lord. We were talking about worry in Sunday school this morning. I think my mom always worried about her children and grandchildren. Something in her family was the desire to die first, so you don't have to go through grief. She had a point. But death certainly isn't the final word. And I don't know, she's been gone for a good number of years now, 8 or 9 years. And I'm sure when my dad finally got there, she probably said, John, what took you so long? It wasn't half as bad as what I thought it would be. Heaven, what a promise we have. Not only an abundant life here, but an eternal life to come. I am the good shepherd, John 10, 11, and 14. Jesus is committed to caring and watching over those who are his. What great promises we have from our Lord. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14, 6. Jesus is the source of all truth and knowledge about God. He revealed God to us. And then in John 15, verses 1 and 5, I am the true vine. By attaching ourselves to Christ, we enable his life to flow in and through us. And we cannot help but bear fruit that will honor the Father. I am. God used that with Moses back in the Old Testament. I am who I am. In fact, the Jewish people weren't allowed to say those two words. Actually, it's one word in Hebrew. Their language is interesting because back in the day the Old Testament was written, they didn't use the vowels. And so it was an oral tradition that you would add the vowels. When the Old Testament was translated into Greek, they put the vowels in. They didn't know which vowels to use for the term I am, because every time they read that in Scripture, they would say Adonai instead of Yahweh or Jehovah. I am. Such respect. And yet Jesus would say, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. In John chapter 8, verse 58, he said, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus knew exactly who he was. Well, what did they tell him? They told him, saying, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others one of the prophets. And he continued by again questioning them. But who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. And he warned them to tell no one about him. You see, the disciples gave Jesus the answers they heard. John the Baptist. That's what King Herod thought. This is John, who I put to death, come back to life again. Elijah. You know, the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and Elijah hadn't died, so it could have been Elijah. Or one of the prophets, particularly Moses, because a prophet like Moses would someday come in the future. So all the people, who is this Jesus? They were asking the question, who is Jesus? Is he the Messiah? But Jesus pressed them for their answer. It's so important for us to know who Jesus is. It's important for the disciples to know who he was. But it's important for us today also to understand who he is, because Jesus has no grandchildren. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean that our children will be Christians. Politically, there's a lot being said about politics today. You can't get to heaven on another's coattails. Oh, my friends are Christians. No, that doesn't count. We have to also come to Christ. There's no cheating off of someone else. Well, he's so-and-so's answer, so he's my answer too. You have to, within yourself, be convinced. Well, Peter got the right answer. He said, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. That's what Christ means. In Matthew 16:16, he adds a little bit, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter got it right. Good for Peter. Peter said, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah. But now Jesus starts to teach them. He says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man, the Messiah, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly. Of course, these were answers the disciples would never have come up with. They wanted to buy into the ideas of their day, their expectations. The Messiah was to be their king. Let's just talk about Son of Man. The Messiah was to be their deliverer. Well, let's just talk about being delivered to death. The Messiah was to free them from Rome. The Messiah would rule the world. Remember all about that white horse and the flashing sword? And that's the guy we want. But this was a new idea. The Messiah would suffer many things. The Messiah would be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. The Messiah would be killed. Probably by that time, the disciples weren't hearing anymore, because he also said, the Messiah will rise again. So important. Jesus did not meet their expectations of what the Messiah would be. Well, maybe this was a new way of questioning. Maybe it wasn't a question with a question mark, but maybe Jesus was giving them something that they should react against. Maybe he didn't want them really to believe what he was saying. Mona, when she teaches the little kids at Christmas time, sometimes changes the Christmas story so they have to point out what's different. You know, Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem in a limousine. And all the little kids will say, no, 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 that's not how it happened. He came on a donkey. She came on a donkey. And she'll use that as a teaching technique. And so here we have Peter, probably thinking along those lines. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan! For you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. At least Peter took Jesus aside. But how could he have had the gall to question Jesus? After the commendation concerning Peter's declaration about Jesus being the Messiah, Jesus rebukes Peter for being a tool of Satan. This is important for us. Just because we get one thing right doesn't mean we're infallible. Jesus actually called Peter Satan. How that must have hurt Peter. But you see, in our relationship with the Lord, there needs to be two confessions. The first confession is who we are. I am a sinner. We need to know that. And maybe that's hard. I don't think anybody in this room has trouble with that. I visited a lady in the hospital one day from Arlington. In fact, I had visited her two times. And she was probably in her 80s. And I thought, this lady, I hope that she was a Christian. And so I talked to her about the Lord and her relationship with the Lord and how it was so wonderful to know that the Lord had forgiven us all our sins. And she stopped me short. And she said, wait a minute. She said, I've never sinned. I don't have trouble with this confession because I know that I've sinned. I've thought things that were wrong. I've said things that were wrong. And I've done things that were wrong. And all of those things were sin. I am a sinner. In fact, I know she's a sinner too, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that is a comforting thought to me, because I know that I'm not worse than any of you. And I don't know your sins. They're probably a little different than mine. But the Bible says we're all in the same boat, and the boat's sinking. We're all sinners. And we need salvation. It was interesting as I looked at that verse again. All have sinned is a past action with present results. I sinned in the past, and it's affecting me right now. And I fall short because of that. I fall short of God's perfect standards. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's the first confession. The first confession is, yes, I agree with you, Lord, that I am a sinner. But the second confession is about Jesus. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Savior. Is a little bit different from Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. From Philippians chapter 2. For this reason also, because of all of the things that Jesus had suffered, all of the things that he went through, bearing our sin on the cross of Calvary. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, the Father. Today, we make that confession. We say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is my Savior. We make that confession. Everyone who does not make this confession will certainly make that confession in the future. All of those people who question today, all of those who deny who Jesus is today, because this verse says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. There will be only two types of people in eternity. Those who have made these two confessions will be eternally saved. Recognizing the fact that I am a sinner, I have trusted in Jesus Christ to be my Savior and my Lord. For those who have made that confession, they will have eternal life. Those who choose not to confess that they are sinners or confess that Jesus is the Christ, until they enter eternity, will confess, will bow down, but they will enter a Christless eternity. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Jesus made it clear who he was and what he was here for. He is God the Son. He came to be our Savior. Have you made those two confessions? I'm a sinner. Jesus died for me, and I put my faith in him. If you have something to rejoice about. If you haven't, you need to get it right with the Lord. Make sure. Don't wait too long. Today, he said, is the day of decision. Now is the accepted time. There will be a time when people will confess, where people will bow, but it won't be the accepted time. Today is a part of that accepted time. If you've never trusted him, trust him today. A simple prayer. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me in Jesus' name. And he will. Father, we thank you for the salvation that you have provided for us. And we thank you that we can humble ourselves and come to you as sinners and receive that salvation that you have provided. I pray, Lord, for everyone here this morning that they might be sure that they know you as their Savior and Lord. With whatever words they pray, I ask you to bless them and their desire for salvation. Grant unto them forgiveness of sin and everlasting life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.